You're listening to the John DePietro Show, and then it was down to two. That is exactly right. Nikki Haley has made it official. She has now exited the race, as if it was any in doubt. We'll talk a little bit about it. She's going to make it official a little bit later this morning, but it is now official. Not that I don't think it was really going anywhere, but let's hear the latest where she has suspended her campaign.
Officially expected to drop out of the 2024 race, making Donald Trump the presumptive Republican nominee. Sources tell me that Haley is not expected to endorse the former president today. Instead, she's expected to make it clear that he has work to do when it comes to winning the support of her voters. This morning, Nikki Haley is expected to end her 2024 campaign. ABC News learning the former South Carolina governor will drop out of the race today. It comes after Donald Trump swept nearly all 15 states on Super Tuesday. The former president, now the presumptive Republican nominee. The stage set for a long general election rematch with President Biden.
November 5th is going to go down as the single most important day in the history of our country.
From Massachusetts to Virginia, Texas to California, millions of voters casting their ballots with more than a third of the GOP delegates up for grabs. Nikki Haley barely even made a dent, only winning Vermont and not even holding a campaign event. The former president didn't mention her once in his remarks.
We have a great Republican Party with tremendous talent, and we want to have unity, and we're going to have unity, and it's going to happen very quickly.
Haley blasting that call for unity. In a statement, her campaign saying there remains a large block of Republican primary voters who are expressing deep concerns about Donald Trump. Exit polls showing major warning signs for the former president as he faces 91 criminal charges, with 79% of Haley voters saying they would be dissatisfied if Trump were the nominee. The exact same number saying he would be unfit for office if convicted of a crime.
I don't want to vote for him again, and I don't want to vote for Joe Biden. Right now, it's kind of, I feel homeless.
President Biden also won big on Super Tuesday. In a memo this morning, his campaign writing, Donald Trump limps into the general election as a wounded, dangerous, and unpopular candidate. But there are troubling signs for Biden, too. In Minnesota, nearly 20% of Democrats voting uncommitted instead of voting for Biden. A significant protest vote fueled by concerns about his age and support over Israel.
Joe Biden has not done enough to earn my vote and not done enough to stop the war, stop the massacre.
Some voters now dreading the all but certain rematch between Trump and Biden, not sold on either candidate.
Could he even give me one reason? Except to like, hey, that guy's bad.
Just as the polls were closing yesterday, the former president lashed out at Haley, his former U.N. ambassador, calling her angry and bitter. Well, now the Trump campaign tells me this is welcome news. The former president has been calling on the party to unify around him as he prepares for this rematch now with President Biden, George.
Now, she didn't endorse him. Well, she's not going to be his VP choice, so there's no reason to endorse him. An endorsement can come down the line, and it might even be worth more down the line. Nikki Haley, and I want to touch on some aspects of this. Number one, I'm a little thrown. I was surprised the number of people that were still upset that she was in the race. She was the only one left. And if you're the Haley people, they were waiting to see what was going to happen with the Supreme Court. It was possible. It didn't happen, but it was possible maybe they were going to knock him off the ballot or put that in jeopardy. But let's talk about Nikki Haley a little bit. I think she's looking ahead to 2028. She's still relatively young, especially when we have two people that are closer to 80 than even 70. That's number one. Number two, you know, I actually received an email from someone, and I'm not going to reveal who, but it's someone that listens to the program. And I don't understand these, maybe I do, these conspiracies. This person was telling me that this is what was going to happen, that at the Democrat convention in Chicago, President Biden was going to announce he's exiting the race and that Nikki Haley was going to walk on stage and she was going to be the Democrat nominee for president. That is such lunacy. She also, I don't see any path for a third party. Some of these people, you watch, she's going to run third party. The deep state's going to have, I mean, it's, I just, Every time I think we're getting away from some of the lunacy, I get some of this stuff. Now, there's several things about that that I'm going to touch on. During the course, not immediately, but this business of, I just don't know when all the conspiracy stuff ends. And then I always try to now ask people, where are you reading this? Where are you hearing it? More often than not, they may not admit it, but I don't believe people are just thinking this. If they are, then I feel like, okay, why are they wasting my time with this foolishness? Biden's not going anywhere. And she's not working for, she's working for the swamp. She was his ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley. Like other Republicans, they misplayed this. There was talk, and it was an unknown, that President Trump might have been very vulnerable. People didn't know how he was going to react. The indictments and the charges against him have made him stronger, not weaker. But people, you know, people didn't know that. And there was no way to tell how that has gone on. He's also run a very good campaign. He's run a very polished campaign. But I think I don't understand all of the real resentment towards her. And I think that needs, it was the same way that people react against Governor DeSantis, as if they're breaking like a vow or a rule, or how can you even run against him? And, you know, politics is about the right time and the right moment and the right opportunity, and you have the right message, and everything can come together. And it's a series of these perfect storms sometimes, that everything falls into place, that people get their moment. That's what happened in 08 with Obama. That's really what happened in 2016 with President Trump. But Nikki Haley, when you listen to her, I thought she was good in some of the debates. I don't despise her. I don't hate her. Like, it's about time she get out, like that, this whole vitriol against her. But make no mistake, she is not running with the Democrats. She also doesn't have a different enough platform to run as a third party candidate. That's not the way she's going. She's a Republican. She was a successful governor in South Carolina. She was the ambassador to the UN. And who knows, maybe at the appropriate time, she will appear somewhere with President Trump and endorse him. But this business that she's replacing Biden is just complete lunacy. I can't believe this, some of these people that believe this stuff. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. AJ, drywall, plaster, home improvement, call them today for a free quote. You can also find them on Facebook, 401-323-9252. 323-9252, AJ, drywall, plasters, home improvement, frame to finish basements. What a difference it'll make in your basement. Acoustic ceilings. Look how beautiful your ceiling could be. New homes, additions. Also, commercial rehabs, painting, remodeling. Contact them today. It's a family-run business. AJ Drywall Plaster Home Improvements. Call for a free quote. What a difference they'll make in your home, your ceilings, floors, basements. 401-323-9252. What a difference. Beautiful walls and ceilings. 401-323-9252. You can also find them on Facebook. It's AJ Drywall Plaster and Home Improvements for your home or business. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. I don't blame people in East Providence for losing patience, frustration boiling over. Businesses are just getting crushed. And now they're asking for the state to jump in and start to try to, you know, maybe bail out some of these Providence businesses. Now, Channel 12 has a story, and I want you to just listen, and I don't blame them for being very, very frustrated with Governor McKee and with the state officials.
This idea tells me local businesses have suffered severe financial losses since the bridge closed in early December, which was something they had no control over. That's why he believes the state should pick up the tab.
Why should the East Providence taxpayer have to suffer because the state didn't maintain that bridge.
Rick Lawson and his fellow city councilors in East Providence are urging the governor and General Assembly to include money in the state budget for businesses hit hard by the Washington Bridge closure.
Whether it's through a tax credit, whether it's through a financial payment, but they deserve something.
The Small Business Administration has offered federal loan assistance to those affected, but Councillor Lawson says business owners he's spoken with deserve more help.
They don't want to borrow money at 4%. They don't want to borrow money at all. They feel that they should be compensated for something that was no fault of their own, and I agree with them.
The City Council unanimously approved that resolution at Tuesday's meeting. They also passed another, throwing support behind a bill at the State House that would require RIDOT to provide regular public updates on the bridge. There's currently no timeline for how or when it will be fixed.
People are constantly asking us for information, and we don't have it.
The bill, filed by East Bay lawmakers in the House, would order the DOT to create a report each month detailing the latest on repairs, costs, and traffic changes related to the bridge closure.
So it's just basically a snapshot. We know everybody's busy on this, but the constituents look for us as, you know, for questions and guidance as to what's going on. And if we can't give them a straight answer, it's not fair to them.
Now, these resolutions that were passed tonight have no teeth, but they're meant to send a message to state leaders as the bridge closure and its impact on residents continues. In East Providence, I'm Kayla Fish, 12 News.
I think, notice they don't have a little cute little nickname for the governor either, like Candyman. I think you may end up seeing a lawsuit here where that would be interesting. Now, I'm sure the mayor of East Providence right now is trying to run cover for the governor, but I don't blame them. I've heard from the same businesses. There's a fundamental misunderstanding where the businesses want grants, and that's not what they're being offered. They're offered loans at 4%, but if you're not impacted by it, you can't imagine just how bad it is. You either have very clogged streets or it's a ghost town and people don't want to go there. And it's you're also seeing businesses slowly going out of business because this is not going to be resolved quickly. Now, Governor McKee, what is he doing about it? He's trying to run a diversion. He's trying to run this whole thing. He's the coach. Coach McKee, and he's the coach of Team Rhode Island, and Rhode Island's all that, and all the tourism, and we have all these great things going. That those people aren't interested in that. This is an incredible failure of local government. Now, I know some people want to also go after former Governor Gina Raimondo, and okay, she was governor there, and the feds are going back, and they're going to look at records from 2015. But Governor McKee's been the governor for the past 3 years. So, and I want to repeat, if this had happened, keep in mind, Raimondo left in March, 3 years ago, March of 21. Governor McKee took over. Now, if this was happening then, it might actually be easier because then he could say, hey, I inherited this. But since he took over, all through 21, and then all the rest of 21, I should say, and then all through 2022, and then all through most of 2023, he was in charge, and the bridges were all passing inspection. So if this started during the Raimondo administration, it's possible, and then we'll find out with the investigation. But right now, this is a McKee problem. This is definitely a Governor McKee problem. Now, there's no easy fix here. And this business that they're going to, or plan, concept, that they're going to add extra lanes and try to lower the speed limit, there's no guarantee that's going to work, let alone that's going to take a month to even make that happen. So we don't have enough people that are watching this, you know, kind of the store, so to speak. So I'm looking right now, this is a story on WPRI Channel 12. A Fall River construction firm has been ordered to pay almost $1,869,000 by the Rhode Island DOT. that it underpaid several employees while under contract for public projects in the state. I just don't know how that happens. I don't know how they were able to get away with something like that. There's certainly enough state employees. You think that they would be working a little more diligently and aggressively to make sure things like that don't happen, excuse me. But it clearly happened. The state is at a crossroads. 300 Providence teaching jobs are now open for next year, and they're getting displacement. Remember, they had all the COVID money. The COVID money has come to an end. This is going to be a real rocky road. Providence needs to close schools. Providence needs to trim the workforce. They have too many people. Governor McKee was just throwing all that money around. It's all coming to an end. And let alone what a Trump presidency could end up meaning for the whole thing. So then it would really come into be problematic. Something to look forward to. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. A great meal, a great time is waiting for you at the Cohasset Inn, a Rhode Island tradition since 1977, 226 Cohasset Avenue, West Warwick. They have a large dining room, perfect, maybe a group, maybe a collation, lunch. The Cohasset Inn, getting a big group together, or maybe just you alone, or a date. 226 Cohasset Avenue, West Warwick. Great staff, terrific food. They're always working on the menu. And they also have a nice lounge as well. You have the market at Cohasset right there. They're open 7 days a week. I'll see you for a great meal. Make it the Cohasset Inn. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. Let's go to some of the news of the day. The headline, Michelle Obama announces not running for president. She never was running for president. But all of this nonsense of these people, you wait, she's going to walk in, she's replacing Biden. I've been saying it wasn't happening. She actually had to come out with an announcement saying it's not happening. And then let's go to Fox. Brett Beer says, okay, we had the announcement today. She's not running. And then listen to, this is embarrassing to me. Listen to Jesse Waters, who to me, this is the equivalent of you carrying the sign saying the world will end tomorrow.
We heard from Michelle Obama's staff today that she officially is not running for president. She is supporting President Biden and Kamala Harris. You've said maybe there's another shoe to drop in the Democratic Party. You still think that's true?
I'm so glad you asked me that question, Brett, because if you read between the lines, she's not saying she wouldn't agree to be drafted at the convention in Chicago, her hometown. She's saying she's not running for president. So there is a chance.
And we heard from...
There is no chance. No one is hearing that. She's saying, I want to hear this again. Like, I don't watch Jesse Waters. I used to watch Bill O'Reilly every night. I like Tucker. This type of nonsense, if this is what the hour is like, I realize why I don't watch Jesse Waters. And I know there are some people that watch it. But just, if you want to break this down. Now, he had been fueling this whole thing. Here comes Michelle Obama. I think his numbers, he was doing pretty well with that. They can measure how segments do. So every time he was doing a segment that Michelle Obama is actually going to replace Biden, he was seeing decent numbers. So he's not ready to let go of this conspiracy.
Michelle Obama's staff today that she officially is not running for president. She is supporting President Biden and Kamala Harris. You've said maybe there's another shoe to drop in the Democratic Party. You still think that's true?
I'm so glad you asked me that question, Brett, because if you read between the lines, she's not saying she wouldn't agree to be drafted at the convention in Chicago, her hometown. She's saying she's not running for president. So there is a chance.
That is so ridiculous. Okay. Let's play that out. She goes to the convention and then accepts they're going to hand the party over to her. and Biden's not going to run. What would she then be doing? She would then be running for president against President Trump. I don't understand. He's not alone. Now people just move on to the next conspiracy. The match is set. And if you're a Republican, you should be happy. Unless there are people that are always just looking for some conspiracy angle to try to fan the flame, to fuel that, to try to come up with, like, that's become the new norm. There always has to be a conspiracy involved. They're no longer interested in just covering regular news. There has to be some conspiracy element to this. Now, as I have said, what he leaves out is Michelle Obama. There's no reason for her. She's been consistently. I even have a problem with the headline saying that she's announced she's not running. She was never running. She has repeatedly said she does not have an interest in running. Now, if people want to say, yeah, but she's lying, well, then you're never going to get a truth out of the matter. As I have said, that others have pointed out, that this comes down to a couple different elements of this. Number one, President Biden and the First Lady, they're very arrogant. He should not be running, but he is, as they've described, like an ornery, older adult who doesn't want to give up the car keys. He refuses. They like their life. They like living at the White House. He did win in 2020. The First Lady and the President, they think he can win again. I don't think he can win again. I don't think he's up to it. But if they want to go ahead, they're not giving up. The Bidens are not saying that he's not running. And that's the most important thing. The most important aspect of this, he is not wishy-washy. They're not saying they're thinking about it. He is saying he's running. They look at it as they have 7 months to go. And then they wrongly think that he can beat President Trump. I don't think he can beat President Trump. But it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. The Bidens think that he can beat President Trump. He's not leaving the race. And this notion that at the convention, he is going to walk out on stage and say, I'm handing my nomination to, it doesn't even work that way. I think a lot of the people that are fueling this have a misunderstanding of the process. I'll tell you one thing. They're not handing it to Nikki Haley, as someone was emailing me. I don't understand the lunacy. Of course, it doesn't make sense, but it's going to be Biden-Harris. That's the ticket. Now, if he were to have some kind of serious health episode, maybe a bad fall, maybe a stroke, something that puts him incapacitated, that would be a different story. But barring that happen, he is the candidate. So this obsession with trying to fuel that there's actually going to be someone else, it's not going to be. And that, by the way, that should be good news for the Trump campaign, because now it seems like the match is set. It does. It is going to be a rematch of 2020. There's a lot of people that are not happy about it. I also think people need to realize in every election, there's people that are not happy. In 2016, the Bernie Sanders people, they were not happy. They had signs, never Hillary. You go back to 92. Now, Ross Perot, that was a real third party. And all Ross Perot did was take away 41, President Bush, Herbert Walker, his opportunity to, he should have had a second term. Bill Clinton, all the dot-com boom, that was all, you know, President Bush, 41, he's the one that would have had the mantle on that and would have been in office for it. But, and then you can go back to 2000, Ralph Nader with the Green Party. Now that was, he did have support, but that really hurt Al Gore, especially in the Pacific Northwest and places like Wisconsin. But the rematch, make no mistake about it, the rematch is set. It's a long way to go. It is probably going to be a rough campaign. I think it's better for President Trump because now he can really just focus on Biden. And the Democrats, they should be panicked because I don't believe there are people voting for Biden. I think there are people that are going to vote against President Trump. AEP Services, they take great pride installing fences of all kinds, vinyl, wood, aluminum, chain link. Experience, quality, integrity. Call AEP Services today for a quality fence, home or business. 401-228-7190. 401-228-7190. Residential fence, commercial fence, steel, wood guard, rail, they have it all. Beautiful aluminum product, decorative landscape, it adds a lot to it for your stunning property. Call the experts today, AEP Services, 401-228-7190. Residential or commercial, why not enjoy your backyard, a little privacy, or maybe keep a pet or young children inside? Remember, they also have fences, they're resilient, water resistant. Call today, 401-228-7190. Free quote, AEP Services, the fence experts, 401-228-7190. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. Let's go to some of the news of the day. How about in Miami? They really don't want spring break. They don't want people coming into Miami for spring break. How much do they not want it? Governor DeSantis is sending state troopers, and they have curfew, and they're going to enforce things. They are absolutely trying to discourage people from descending on the city of Miami for spring break.
Ocean Drive is quiet now, but that is going to drastically change in the coming days. For the visitors headed this way, the barricades will be up, and the streets will be flooded with law enforcement from all over the state as Miami Beach implements their strictest safety measures yet. This morning, with millions set to descend on Florida for spring break, officials across the state saying not so fast.
Florida is a very welcoming state. What we don't welcome is criminal activity. What we don't welcome is mayhem.
After scenes of chaos last year that led to nearly 600 arrests and two deaths in Miami Beach alone, the Sunshine State is cracking down.
Hey, we need to talk.
This isn't working anymore.
In a new ad, Miami Beach even breaking up with spring break.
And it's not us, it's you. We just want different things.
You just want to get drunk in public and ignore laws.
Maybe we can talk when you're done with your spring break phase.
140 state troopers now set to be deployed to spring break hotspots. And in the air, drones used to spot potential problems. Officials promising this year will be different.
What makes you confident that this spring break will be different than previous years?
We have got a plan that implements components that we've never ever done before.
Miami Beach clamping down, warning visitors to expect curfews, early beach closures, and bag checks ahead of the first busy weekend, business owners hoping for a safer spring break.
What was spring break like for you last year?
Last year was a disaster.
A disaster.
I have, hopefully, would be better than last year, I hope.
And visitors can expect parking garages to be closed. Towing fees will be doubled. This weekend and the following are expected to be the busiest ones. The message from the chief, play by the rules or get arrested.
It is kind of funny that you don't hear that a lot, right? Especially different Rhode Islands roll out the tourism, right? Rhode Island has it all. And they're essentially trying to discourage anyone from coming down. Let's go to the White House. White House press person, very triggered, asking, why is President Biden so reliant on these pre-written note cards? And it is embarrassing how he sits there and says, I better not take questions or I'll get in trouble. It's the President of the United States that is saying this.
President, I noticed, had note cards at the border when he was doing his briefing there. He also had note cards last Friday with the Italian Prime Minister. Why does the President rely so heavily on note cards?
You're upset because the President has note cards? You're asking me a question about the President having note cards?
I'm asking why.
The President, who has had probably one of the most successful first 3 years of an administration than any modern day president. He's done more in the first 3 years than most presidents who had two terms. You're asking me about note cards. I'm not speaking to you right now, James. I'm talking to your friend over here, Ed. So thank you so much. But thank you so much for interjecting. Go ahead, Ed.
I was just asking why he relies so heavily on note cards.
I think what's important here and what the American people care about is how this president is delivering for them. And that's what he's doing. And that's what's the most important thing here.
She's the first one to go. I mean, it's beyond even reliant on note cards. He even blows it when in fact he's relying on, and even relying on his note cards. So listen to this, where he's reading his questions directly written. It's a photo op written from pre-written notes. This is the question you're supposed to ask the man.
Communities and have to find these individuals and arrest them in the communities and bring them back into custody, which makes it more dangerous for not only me, for the non-citizen and the public at large.
Okay, what's the better way to take on these cartels?
Well, sir, Katrina Berger, I'm the EAD for HSI, Homeland Security Investigations.
I'm sorry, but they didn't. But I'm glad you said it. I should have said you.
He meant to say they didn't write that down. Holy cow, and the woman has to introduce herself. I mean, that's how embarrassing it is. So the question is there, and the woman says her name. He's reading pre-written questions that they write when you're there and they're making their talking to you for the photo op. Here's what you're going to ask them.
Which takes a lot more to go out to the communities and have to find these individuals and arrest them in the communities and bring them back into custody, which makes it more dangerous for not only me, for the non-citizen and the public at large.
Okay, what's the better way to take on these cartels?
Well, sir, Katrina Berger, I'm the EAD for HSI, Homeland Security Investigations.
I'm sorry, but they didn't. But I'm glad you said it. I should have said you.
They didn't write it down for me. Okay, there's your nominee. That's who McKee, Matos, Seth Magaziner, Gabe Amo. This is the part. Listen to this. I better not start the questions or I'll get in trouble. Sits there as the handlers force the press out of the room. I'll get in trouble. This is just, folks, it's tough to witness this as an American.
I have a lot of questions. I better not start the questions. I'll get in trouble.
What's your message for November Tuesday voters?
Everyone, please move this way.
Super Tuesday said, do you have a message for voters?
Thanks, come on.
Thank you so much. Thank you all.
And he's just sitting there. Think of that. They usher them out. I better not start the questions. I'll get into trouble with who? Trouble with who? The first lady? This is the Democrat nominee. This is who the Massachusetts Rhode Island delegation is backing. This is just yesterday at the White House.
Notice what they're doing. When they charge you just as much for the same size bag of potato chips, only has a hell of a lot fewer chips in it. I'll tell you who did notice, the Cookie Monster. He pointed out his cookies are getting smaller, paying the same price. I was stunned when I found out that's what actually happened.
Okay, that's the nominee. Leader of the free world. That's who they're putting up.
Build an economy from the middle out and the bottom up, not the top down. And it's working. Wages are up more than prices. Unemployment has reached historic lows. Families are finally getting a little breathing room.
Okay. Governor McKee says, best president Rhode Island has ever had in his lifetime. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. All your oil needs, make it Henry Oil. Call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. Reliable, affordable fuel oil delivery. Call Henry Oil today. Fuel oil, diesel, gasoline delivery, It's Henry Oil, residential, commercial, fuel oil delivery since 1947. They also have budget plans, service contracts, lock and cap pricing. You can depend on Henry Oil. Call them today, 401-521-0200. Serving most of Rhode Island and southeastern Mass. We got a long way to go with winter. Make sure that tank is filled. Call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. Henry Oil, a local family-run business since 1947 that you can depend on. For all your oil needs, call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. 300 Providence teaching positions posted following displacement letters. The failing Providence Public Schools. Now, the COVID money is gone. You have less students in the schools, and they're underperforming schools. You know what that means? That means tough decisions. And who's in charge of the schools right now? The state is. So then you have the wrong person at the top. They need to close schools, eliminate some positions. And of course, the teachers union is going to be very vocal and fight it. Let's go to this piece that Channel 12 has put together on this evolving situation.
The district's career page showed more than 300 new teaching jobs available for the coming school year. It comes as hundreds of teachers in the Providence Teachers Union were notified they would be displaced at the end of the school year.
As part of an annual process, some Providence Public School District teachers were notified their jobs may be at risk. Revised numbers from the school district show 367 teachers received notice they would be displaced at the end of the school year. Providence school officials say these are not layoffs, but rather notices that teachers have to find an alternate placement in the district.
You have to feel for them because this was their job, right? This is their position, their livelihood, and now they are in the unknown right now.
A district official said in the letter to teachers that they would be posting open positions to the district's website Tuesday. At last check, more than 300 teacher positions were posted for the upcoming school year. Still, Providence Teachers Union President Mary Beth Calabro says it's a difficult time for educators.
They don't know if there'll be a job available for them to apply to or to match with, and they don't know what happens as a result of that if they're not successful.
In January, Education Commissioner Angelica Infante Green told 12 News cutbacks would be necessary because federal COVID relief money was drying up, meaning districts would no longer be allowed to use that funding for certain expenses, including staff.
Districts have to make difficult choices. There will be layoffs.
Calabro told Target 12, this is very much a fluid situation. If the district does opt for layoffs, state law says that districts are required to notify staff of any potential layoffs for the upcoming school year by June 1st. With the Target 12 investigators, Alexandra Leslie, 12 News.
Now, this is going to be a real showdown. Very, very powerful teachers union. You also have Governor McKee, not exactly the strongest individual, also very indebted. In fact, to the teachers union, he's going to try to have some of the allies he has, Captain Creep, Bob Walsh, people like that, try to run cover for him. But make no mistake about it, they're going to have to close some schools and they're going to have to let go of some staff. And when they talk about a teacher shortage, there actually isn't a teacher shortage. The problem is they have too many schools. They have schools that are only 30-40% capacity. And the kids don't care. The children, they all take a bus anyway. So it's just a matter, they're getting on a bus and the bus is either going, you know, a mile or 2 miles in this direction to the right, or they're going 1 to 2 miles in the direction to the left. It really doesn't matter what school they're going to, but the reckoning is coming without question. The Providence schools underperforming. They don't need all these schools. They need better teachers. They need to thin the ranks. They need to cut the cost. They need competition. They need some form of competition. But I think that this is going to be a battle. They don't go quietly. They're not used to not getting their own way. I think they're going to push back. They're going to push back hard. And we're going to find out whether or not if Governor McKee has the stomach for it. Folks, you're listening to the John DePietro Show. Propane Plus. Call them today, Heating and Cooling in Rhode Island, 401-885-4209 in Massachusetts, 508-252-3359 for Propane Plus. Three generations you can always depend on Propane Plus for all your heating and cooling. Call them today, 401-885-4209. Three generations, they're available 24/7 for service and delivery, and they're going to serve you for a very long time. They have a great user-friendly website. You just log on at propaneplus.com, and then you type in your zip code, residential, commercial, Propane Plus, heating and cooling, always there for you. Give them a call today. In Rhode Island, 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359. The Johnson family, three generations, heating and cooling. You can always depend on Propane Plus. Folks, you're listening to the John DePietro Show. Joining us right now, she is the independent columnist, opinion maker. It is one of my siblings, and it is Donna Perry. And DJ, let's start off with the very disturbing story on some of the girls being injured, hurt. It became a national story regarding some of these transgender, let's call it what it is, boys playing and getting very violent and hurting some of these girls, getting injured.
Yes, good to be with you, John. So this dates back to a February, you know, supposed to be girls basketball matchup between two charter schools. Kipp Academy was the charter school and the Collegiate Charter School of Lowell. And it was the Lowell team that, you know, a good basic matchup, and one of the players, transgender, it was a very obvious young teenage guy, claiming he's a girl, because that's how all that works, and was very aggressive. And there are some, you know, they're grabbing the ball and knocks down, like, really aggressively. A girl goes, like, smash into the floor. I believe that was where things started, John. This happens a little while later, a second, and then up to a third of the girl on the Kipp Academy team. And really, it is striking, because then the coach, like, calls, like, hey, like, I think we're going to have to call the game, like, because they were actually very, I think they were really thrown and very, you know, beside themselves, saying, like, well, listen, like, I, you know, these are my players. And so, you know, they were pretty aggressively injured. This was not a typical basketball, you know, kind of back and forth. And it did get national attention, and someone who, you know, went on X and, you know, was really talking about on social media, Riley Gaines, who is a well-known, you know, former college swimmer, John, and is very vocal against this broader, very, very tough issue. And she is very against males who she says are males posing as girls, and they are throwing themselves into girls' sports. And these are becoming unfair and, you know, she's saying unsafe, you know, games. And she's made some comments to the point of, like, gee, you know, does that look like compassionate and inclusive? All these terms that, you know, we hear all around this very, you know, this very big issue. So that was where that went. And then the thing is, JD, right now in Massachusetts, and I'm sure like many states, you know, they really, when you talk about lawmakers and the association of, like, high school sports, John, they really get frozen, and they don't seem to know how to handle this stuff right now. So there was not really an outcome to it, but it was, I think it's very notable. And I think you're going to see more of that. And it does seem very notable that, you know, this is almost like an attack on girls' sports, in the name of what for a lot of people feel is very controversial, you know, yes, sort of social trend, John, really driven by adults, let's face yes it, who are pushing yeah an agenda, who want to pretend that all this is perfectly natural. And I don't mind going on the record to saying, sorry, I disagree with that. And I think, yeah, you know, if by the time a male who probably was 11 or 12, now is 16 on a team like that. Well, there's been several years of that's a very young person who is clearly there's adults in their life who are encouraging this, nurturing this, and the whole rest of it. So I think it was just very unfortunate.
You know, it's interesting, Donna Perry. I think one of the people involved, the student, is described as a three-sport athlete. But what I don't understand is it seemingly is pushed by the progressives. And how can't they see how this is so unfair to the girls? Now, you know, this individual, you know, maybe they feel, that person feels, well, I wouldn't even be able to make the boys' team. But it's completely unfair to then be this, quote, star and aggressive player on the girls' team.
Right. And JD, you know, there is a long legion for centuries and decades of young guys saying, hey, I couldn't make my school's basketball team.
Yes.
Okay. Like,
yeah,
that's how life is.
Right.
You know, so that's nonsense. And that is the answer is not this. And again, you know, we've seen the stuff in swimming, basketball, and it really, really is. I also find there is in some liberal corners and quarters, John, there's a lot of hypocrisy. You know, where are the Title IX strong voiced advocate women who always talk about that? Preserve women's sports. It's just astounding. And also then the media, which doesn't want to, like, you know, go there and doesn't want to, like, raise that flag, and the wider Massachusetts, Boston media. I just think it's awful. And what is that showing girls aspiring to be on sports teams, you know? And so, and look at what I'll just note this last quick thing. I mean, we're seeing this remarkable national girls basketball athlete who is just now, you know, ripping apart every record, you know, but no one is saying that she was supposed to go up against an equal, you know, male player, you know, who would, you know, pound her down on the court. Like, I just think it's really, and it's a shame. And I think a lot of these administrators, they want to go hide. They don't like the issue. It's, nobody wants to, John, step forward and call this for what it is. I think it's
you're right.
It's a very, I think it's just a very disturbing time for a lot of young teenagers when all of this is in front of them, and it's not such a cut and dry issue.
When it comes to insurance, you need a neighbor, a partner, and friend. You need Chapa Insurance Agency. They're located right on Reservoir Avenue in Cranston. Call today, free consultation, 401-900-INSU, 401-900-4678, Chapa Insurance, SIA. Steven, very experienced, whether it's auto, home, renters, business insurance, flood, recreational, umbrella, any other protection for your assets, Rhode Island and Massachusetts, Chapa Insurance Agency, your agency of choice. Call today, set up a meeting. They're so knowledgeable, can have everything under one roof. Call Chapa Insurance today, 401-900-INSU or 401-900-4678. Look for them on Facebook, again, located Reservoir Avenue in Cranston. Chapa Insurance Agency, your neighbor, your partner, your friend. One-stop insurance solutions. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. Well, if you remember the naked fat coach, basketball coach out of North Kingstown, now he's trying to get the criminal charges against him dismissed instead of going to trial. The judge is going to decide sometime next month. One of our media that have done a fantastic job on this, local press, is Channel 12, the investigators. This scandal with this coach, Aaron Thomas, and the naked fat test. Whether or not the case will move forward, let's pick up the story with Channel 12.
With what happened at the hearing, Tim?
Lawyers for 56-year-old Aaron Thomas asked the judge to throw out the charges against him, but prosecutors urged the judge to allow this case to move toward trial.
well within the statute of limitations.
Former North Kingstown High School basketball coach Aaron Thomas appearing in Washington County Superior Court Monday, more than a year and a half after he was charged with one count of child molestation and one count of second-degree sexual assault. Thomas is accused of getting students naked behind closed doors to conduct so-called fat tests.
And that's the state's evidence of sexual intent. Breathing heavily. And
defense attorney John McDonald argued the state failed to show Thomas conducted the tests for the purpose of sexual gratification, which is required to prove under the law.
The optics are not great. The judgment is clearly questionable. But criminal behavior, that's not there.
But prosecutors pushed back.
Aaron Thomas doesn't hold himself out to be a medical professional. Then why is he touching these kids? Why is he doing puberty tests? Why is he doing hernia tests?
Arguing experts have said getting students naked for these tests is completely unnecessary. And when he was first questioned by North Kingstown police, he lied.
He says no students were ever naked, right? What's his reason for lying about that, right? It's because he's trying to mask his intentions.
Superior Court Judge Melanie Thunberg told both sides she wants to read all 600 pages of the criminal complaint against Thomas before issuing a decision. That decision is expected sometime in mid-April. With the Target 12 investigators, Tim White, 12 News.
You know, that is really remarkable, and there's a lot to unpack there, but it would certainly seem as though this case against the naked fat coach, or naked fat test coach, I should say, sure seems like it's going to be moving forward. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. Folks, I always tout our website just because it has exclusive stories and video. It has links to on-the-scene live stream. Remember, there's no vowel I. It's DePietro.com, DePietro.com. You can also reach me that way if you'd like to get in touch with me. DePietro.com. Log on, and then links to Facebook and YouTube, everything we have, it's all waiting for you right there at the website. For all your tree needs, call Yankee Tree today. The tree trimming experts in Lincoln. Call Yankee Tree at 401-439-6028. Whether it's tree removal, stump grinding, tree pruning, emergency service, bucket truck service, even bobcat service, you can depend on Yankee Tree. Remember, 24/7 emergency services available. They are fully insured, licensed arborists. Yankee Tree. With all these storms, don't let some dangerous branches fall onto your home or business. Call Yankee Tree today, 401-439-6028. The tree trimming experts in Lincoln. You can depend on Yankee Tree Service. Call them, 401-439-6028. Free quote, 24/7 emergency service, Yankee Tree Service. There when you need them, 401-439-6028. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. It's time for our legal segment. Joining us right now, he is our legal expert, one of Rhode Island's top attorneys. It is Attorney Tim Dodd. And Tim, why don't we start off? Aaron Thomas, North Kingstown coach, back in the news. This is important. Apparently a hearing to decide whether or not these charges that have been leveled against him regarding the so-called naked fat test in North Kingstown. Sounds like we're going to find out next month where this case stands.
Yes, this is a case that has been high profile, and even Aaron Thomas's attorney concedes in arguing for the motion to dismiss that the optics of the case aren't great for the defense. I mean, the coach was doing the so-called naked fat test, allegedly taking a body mass index or something to try to work on improving the athletes that he was coaching in terms of their ability to run, to jump, and to be in better physical shape. Was it a system that generated positive results? Was it something that was created by a medical professional? No, it wasn't. Do many of the coaches, athletes who have gone through the system say that the whole naked fat test, you know, watching what you eat, watching your weight, watching your muscle mass, did it help your athletic performance? Many, many, many will come forward and say, yes, it was a very good program. It was very helpful. You got a few students who have come out after the coach got fired to say that, you know, making allegations of an improper touching. So the coach is charged with one count of second-degree child molestation and one count of second-degree sexual assault. The main component of these charges is whether or not the touching between the coach and the student was done for the coach's sexual gratification. If it was not done for any sexual gratification, then one of the elements of second-degree sexual assault and or second-degree child molestation would not be satisfied. I believe one of the students says they thought they saw a partial erection in the coach's groin area during one of these tests that was being performed. That I don't think that's corroborated in any manner. The Attorney General's department, in arguing against the motion to dismiss, says, well, wait a minute. If this was all an above-the-board normal thing, why did the coach lie when officials from the North Kingston School Department and members of the North Kingston Police Department asked him about this?
Yep.
He lied about whether or not these kids were doing it while unclothed. The state would say he lied because he was trying to hide what he was doing for sexual gratification. Defense counsel says, well, no, because he thought what he was doing was proper, but he was also worried about losing his job. That's something that creates, I think, something of a problem for the defense. Why did he lie about it if he thought this was a totally normal thing just to coach athletes and not for some sort of sexual component? Every touching is not a sexual touching. It's not a great comparison, but, you know, you see football games, somebody scores, his teammates come over and give him a slap on the butt.
Yeah.
That's not for a sexual gratification.
Right.
That's like a way to go kind of a demonstration, a physical demonstration. So did the coach do this for sexual gratification or not? Is there any evidence that he was doing it for sexual gratification? I think some of the complaining students said, well, there was heavy breathing. Well, if there's two people in a room and one of them, both of them are breathing, you know, you're going to hear the breathing. It doesn't mean that necessarily the breathing is a sign of sexual gratification. The partial erection, that could be a problem. The judge might find, well, that's enough of a factual issue to take this to a jury. It's tough for a judge on a high-profile case like this to dismiss it.
Right.
The judge who's hearing this, Judge Thunberg, is an excellent judge. She's one of the longest-serving judges in the Superior Court. She handles predominantly criminal cases. She's seen it all. She's done it all. She's heard it all. So I think from both sides, I think they've got a very conscientious, thoughtful, well-versed judge hearing this. The other issue that's provocative in this, in terms of the defense, is they're moving to dismiss, claiming that the state failed to file these charges within the 3-year statute of limitation for these offenses. Defense counsel says that based upon the facts, that the charges should have been brought on or before June of 2022. The state didn't bring the charges till July of 2022. So defense is saying state missed the statute of limitations, got to dismiss it. just thinking about the case, not necessarily the judge who's hearing it, but any judge faced with a difficult case, if the judge didn't want to get into the weeds on whether or not this naked fat test was for sexual gratification,
yep.
was it or was it not, if the judge decides the case should go based upon blowing the statute of limitations, judge could dump the case on that basis and never get into what kind of touching is sexual, what isn't, what's for gratification, what isn't, what does heavy breathing mean. So I think the defense is doing a good job here. Will it be successful? I wouldn't hold my breath.
Yeah. Again, Tim, the decision apparently is going to be made April 15th. Let's just also clarify, could it be explained a way of, hey, the reason I lied to the police and to the administrators, I was embarrassed. Is that criminal that he may, you know, and maybe he could argue and say, well, you know, I wasn't that forthcoming, but it doesn't mean he broke the law because he wasn't honest with the people at the school.
Well, he wasn't honest with the people at the school or with the police, allegedly. You know, words have nuanced meaning, and I haven't seen the transcript of the exact question and the exact answer, but it doesn't sound like he was totally candid and forthcoming when asked about the naked fat test, so-called.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make what happens thereafter a crime,
okay.
and a sex crime.
Right.
And on a sexual assault or a molestation. Again, defense counsel kept pounding on, if there's no evidence of sexual gratification,
right.
the critical element of the charge has not been shown. There's no facts to support it. You must dismiss. So the defense has two different prongs to go on, the lack of sexual gratification and the statute of limitations. It would be a gutsy move for the judge to dismiss this.
Yeah. Folks, coming up, we're going to talk with our legal expert, Tim Dodd, about this. It could be a huge case involving the Dartmouth basketball team and also the Attorney General of Public Records. Much more ahead with Tim Dodd right here on The John DePietro Show.